The weather didn't hold. The next afternoon, after they traversed a small slope into a wooded pass, the sky turned white, and then dark and heavy gray, and then everything was white again. The worst thing was, it was white and wet. They hunkered in the tent, and Fraser explained about the difficulty of predicting Arctic weather, especially with the unprecedented effects of global warming, and how the sled would be a greater difficulty for them until they could get through the trees and back out onto the tundra. Ray watched Fraser lie back in his sleeping bag, resigned to wait the storm out, and he wondered what he should do. They hadn't been holed up together like this in nearly 3 weeks, long before he started noticing how nice it was when Fraser smiled at him. Ray felt pretty sure that Fraser wouldn't say no if he just slid right across the tent and kissed him. He could even see himself doing it. The trouble was, he could also see the prickly silence coming right after, and he could feel how much colder it would be in that silence. Damn it, he liked the way Fraser looked at him, all warm and pleased-looking, just to be in the same tent with him. And maybe he was a coward, but it wasn't like cruising some nameless guy at a bar for a blowjob. It was Fraser, and remembering that, Ray felt like he should ask him something. He felt like they should be talking. Most of the time during the day, they were too busy sledding or whatever to say much, and at night they were too damn tired. Fraser noticed Ray staring, and raised his eyebrows. Ray smiled, caught, still not knowing quite what to say. It was a strange feeling, both of them being in the tent like this, unable to escape outside. And then suddenly Ray knew what he wanted to ask. He cocked his head at the tent door and made a circling motion with his hand. "Is it as good as you remembered? I know you love it up here, but I mean, sometimes things look better in hindsight than they do in person, you know?" Fraser nodded at that, and took a deep breath, not bothering to sit up, but also not looking away from Ray, who was sitting, fully encased by his sleeping bag, up to where he'd pulled the drawstring tight around his neck. "It's different," he said. "Different doing this with you, I should say. In many ways, it feels like I'm rediscovering the entire region through showing it to you." "Is that good?" Ray asked, because honestly, that was a thing that could go either way. Fraser snorted softly. "It's a bizarre sensation, in all truth. I've traveled back and forth over this country for my entire life, but..." Fraser paused, and his voice grew warm and low. "I've told you how important this area is to me, personally, and doing this adventure with you, Ray, is somewhat uncanny. It really does feel like I'm seeing it all for the first time." Ray felt himself blushing as he mumbled, "I'm glad." "I am too," Fraser said with feeling. The tent was dim, especially with the pile of snow gathered on the roof between the intermittent shakes to clear the vent. Still, Ray could see the look on Fraser's face, the look he was hiding underneath his wonder at digging the Arctic more than ever. The look that said maybe Fraser was digging the company more than ever, now that they were free of people trying to shoot at them and blow them up. Ray said, "It could be like a fresh start, maybe. Something to hope for." Fraser gazed at Ray for a long moment before giving him a slow, thoughtful nod. "Maybe. Yes." The storm broke in the night, and since they'd both spent most of the afternoon and evening dozing, they both went out to check on Diefenbaker and the dogs. Fraser checked out all the noses and ears and paws while Ray played with Dief for a few minutes and then stood back to stare at the sky. The night air was frigid, and the night sky was full of a billion bright, sparkling stars with no moon to outshine them. The Milky Way was a shimmering streak a little off to the side, and he could see Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter clear as anything, shining a steady red, gold, and white. Fraser was at his side then, and Ray found himself speaking in almost a whisper. "So clear I found them on my own this time," pointing out the planets. "You're right, the seeing is exceptionally good tonight," Fraser murmured back. Ray glanced over at Fraser, watching him watch the sky, seeing the starlight touch his face and glint off his open eyes. It wasn't even a conscious motion when he put his arm around Fraser's shoulders and gave him a squeeze through their layers. It was just a little thing, except that he was pretty sure they both knew it wasn't. Dropping in and out of sleep earlier, he'd had a bizarre mishmash of dreams, part where he was still Vecchio and part where it was him like normal, doing their adventure. And there was that disconnect there, where the parts in the city didn't even feel like his life anymore. But then, they hadn't strictly been his in the first place. The last 2 years of being Vecchio, he built his life with Fraser, as much at the center of it as Stella had been before. Standing there in the fresh snow with his arm around Fraser, with starlight shining down on them and the dogs and the night-bright snow, Ray felt himself realize something that he'd been too chicken-shit to admit to himself before. Welsh, the CPD, and the whole city of Chicago could get by just fine without him. Fraser didn't react to his touch, but that was okay. It could have been he didn't even feel it through all the down in Fraser's parka and the stuffing in Ray's mittens. But then a breeze kicked up a swirl of snow around their ankles and Ray shivered. "I'm going in," he murmured, and Fraser didn't even say anything but turned with him, and Rafe held his hand on his back all the way to the tent. Inside, free of their outer layers, they each did their inchworm routines to strip in the relative warmth of their sleeping bags. It had grown bitterly cold, but the lantern's yellow glow made things seem a little warmer. Eventually, Fraser said, "Night, Ray," and smiled at him before snapping off the light. Ray pulled his woolen hat down closer over his ears and answered, "Good night." Then he rolled over on his side, put the hot water bottle between his feet, and jerked himself off into his spare handkerchief as quietly as he could. After that, sleep, with dreams of Fraser, came easy. The next day dawned bright, and they moved through breakfast and breaking camp as quickly as they could. Ray walked the perimeter and pissed in the snow one last time before tucking into his place in the sled and giving Fraser the word go. They'd used a lot of their supplies, and the snow had frozen to a hard crust, so the sled went faster and they made better time. And Klugutuk. Well, Fraser was probably right not to get Ray's hopes up. It was a tiny place, and Ray had to take a moment to think about how small a slice of Chicago could contain 1,000 people. It hurt his head a little, but then Fraser had got them a room, and inside it was sort of actually warm, and the ceiling was low, but it was there, and he couldn't stop grinning at that, even though he could feel Fraser staring at him with his patiently amused look, like Ray had never seen 4 solid walls before. But Ray didn't care. He shucked off his coat and his boots and his sweater, and then sat down to strip off his socks, and then he had the best idea ever. "Shower?" he said to Fraser, hopefully. "Ah, well, yes," Fraser said with an embarrassed look on his face. "I'm afraid the bathing facilities are shared, Ray. I'm sorry if that's a problem, but the suite arrangement and the difficulty and expense of plumbing installations in this climate do tend to put a damper on each room having a private bath." Ray shot the patiently amused look right back at Fraser, because this was just funny. "Fraser," he said, shaking his head, "for the last month now, I've been wiping my ass with snow and taking sponge baths out of my coffee cup, right out in front of God and you and the bears and everybody. Tell me you do remember this. We have been out here together all this time, right?" Fraser nodded, turning pink around the ears. "Okay then, so like I care if it's private or not." Fraser took a step back and cleared his throat. "Yes, Ray. However, I understand the appeal of hot water, and you've expressed your interest in partaking, and the woman at the desk did mention that the only other occupants of the inn at the moment are all out on a caribou expedition together." Ray burst out laughing. "You really want a shower, Fraze? You go for it." "Yes, well," Fraser mumbled, blushing, "I only thought I would offer you dibs, as it were, on the hot water." Ray laughed again, waving his arm toward the door. "Will you just go already?" Fraser did, finally, and Ray set about unpacking. He read through the Klugluktuk Coppermine brochure on the dresser, and then the flyer on What None of It Means to You. Then he dumped out his pack and divided it into clothes to wash, clothes to burn, and clothes that might be presentable enough to wear while doing the laundry. Then he put all of the miscellaneous odds and ends he'd picked up on the adventure back into his pack before Fraser could give him any crap about carrying rocks around with them. They were cool-looking, and then he took out his shaving kit to see how much shampoo he had left. Plenty. And looked in the mirror. He hadn't looked in a mirror once in practically a month, and while it had occurred to him that he probably wouldn't recognize himself, he really didn't. It was like looking at a stranger. His hair was all long and flat from being pressed down under the knit cap for all this time. His nose and cheeks were pink and peeling from the wind and sun. His lips were chapped, and his eyes. There was something mildly disturbing about the look in his eyes. He looked different. Older, maybe, but also younger in a way. It was hard to get a grip on the exact way his face had changed. The other thing was the beard. He hadn't shaved at all since he realized a beard was good for keeping your face warm, and it was too damn time-consuming to shave in the morning anyway, what with so much other stuff they had to be doing. Fraser had a beard, too, now, although it had taken a long time to grow in, and it still looked kind of incomplete. It had looked good when it was new and scruffy. It made Fraser look rumpled and maybe a little wild, which was very much a good thing. But it looked weird long. He wondered if Fraser was shaving. He wondered if he should shave. Then he wondered if he was so out of practice at it that he'd cut his face to pieces. Maybe there was a barber shop in town where he could get it trimmed. But then Fraser was back, squeaky clean in jeans and flannel, with a pile of clothes under his arms. "You kept the beard," Ray said. Fraser's hand went to his face, stroking self-consciously. He shrugged. "It is warmer. I thought I would leave it until we decide what to do next." Ray nodded. "You think maybe we can get some clippers from the girl at the desk? I feel scraggly. I can ask." "Cool. Okay, my turn, and then laundry," Ray said, making a face. "Oh, hey, where's the wolf?" "Kenneled with the other dogs, much to his chagrin," Fraser said with a sigh. "No animals in the rooms." "Right. Well, we'll have to spring him later on and go exploring. I'm sure he'll be delighted. Fraser didn't tell him there was a tub. Fraser had said showers, and to Ray, showers in a shared bathroom meant like locker room showers. And yeah, there was a row of four locker room-style showers with a steel divider between each stall and a flimsy shower curtain, but there was also a tub. And it was big and old-fashioned and white porcelain, and suddenly all thoughts of spending the afternoon exploring the town with Fraser and Deef went right out the window. But he was vile. So he put his stuff down, grabbed the soap and shampoo, and stood under a scalding shower, scrubbing the hell out of his hair and everywhere else until his skin shone pink. It was amazing to feel clean again, and he couldn't help lingering under the spray, thanking the merciful gods of indoor plumbing for the miracle of hot running water. And then he got out and turned on the faucet in the tub. He didn't get it before, but now he was glad Fraser had made a production over taking the first shower. They hadn't had any privacy at all in a month, so spending some time alone and naked, even just to scrub off the filth, felt like a big deal. The whole thing felt like a big deal. Sure, there were two beds, but they were beds, and that made Ray wonder, wasn't this what everything had been leading up to? God knew he fantasized about it often enough. Fraser's mouth, his hands, peeling up his shirt to get a rare glimpse of skin, the look in his eyes when he was happy. He lay there in the hot water, feeling warm and languid. This was exactly what he needed. 20 minutes later, Fraser came in. Ray had his eyes shut, but he still knew it was him because of the way the footsteps sounded. Fraser didn't say anything, though, so Ray cracked an eyelid and tried not to give away how nervous he suddenly felt. Fraser was standing by the door, leaning against the wall with a full view of the side of the tub. He was rubbing his left eyebrow. "Ray, do you mind if I ask where you managed to find bubble bath?" "It's just shampoo," Ray answered, pretending lazy composure, and let his eyes fall shut again.
"I was concerned you might have drowned. You've been in here so long."
"It's a tub, Fraser. You never mentioned a tub."
"I didn't realize it was important."
Fraser's voice was softer, warmer.
"It is. It's a tub. You know, there are hot springs southwest of here."
"Yeah?" Ray opened his eyes, smiling. Fraser wasn't against the wall anymore. He was nearer, and the shampoo bubbles were nearly gone, since Ray hadn't wanted to waste too much shampoo, and the suds weren't built for bubble bath duty. Fraser was looking at him, and Ray was nervous, but he wasn't freaking out. It was almost like he wanted Fraser to see what he'd been staring at for the last half hour or so, to see how a month on the ice had changed him. He was skinnier, which wasn't good, but he also had more muscle than in years. Except for the beard, he thought he looked pretty damn good. Fraser didn't move, though. He just kept looking, and Ray couldn't hide his reaction to that, or to the compounded reaction of knowing Fraser had just seen his dick twitch. Maybe if Fraser had made a move, but no. Maybe it would have been fine if this were some freaky anonymous porno set on the tundra, but this was... Well, at first it was Fraser, and then it was a public bathroom. Not that he had anything against porn, but... Shit. I think I'll rinse off, he said, trying not to sound too nervous. I'll be in a couple of minutes. Fraser didn't say anything besides, ah. And when he turned on his heel to leave the room, the mood, or whatever it was totally broken. Ray got up, drained the tub, and stepped back in the shower to scrub off again. He wished he could prolong the second shower, but he'd already used up about a week's worth of water, and he didn't want to piss anyone off. But he wasn't stupid. Fraser was about as subtle as a ton of bricks, and Ray liked that about him. He liked Fraser's eyes on him, and liked knowing that watching Ray made Fraser feel kind of stupid. And now he knew that no way in hell was Fraser going to make the first move, because, hello, he'd been naked there, and Fraser hadn't done anything more than stare at him like he was starving, and then Ray's stupid anxiety shut him down. When he got out of the shower, he had a speech planned out in his head, but then, back in their room, he found Fraser sitting on his bed, intently poring over a map and studiously ignoring Ray.
So, laundry? Ray said, his nose wrinkled in distaste as he donned another semi-stinky middle layer. Compared to the nice, clean hotel towels, even his cleanest clothes seemed gross. Fraser looked up with a bright smile and answered, "Yes, let's!" as if doing laundry was the best thing in the whole world. Lucky for them, they didn't have to go outside, just through the corridors down the hall to the other side of the kitchen, where they could smell dinner cooking. Ray's stomach immediately started growling. When their wash cycle started, he didn't even have to speak. He and Fraser just turned automatically and went to the dining room, and while it was only caribou stew, at that moment Ray thought it was the best thing he had ever put in his mouth. Afterwards, they folded their laundry together, which was probably the strangest experience Ray had ever had with Fraser. He didn't say anything, because it felt right somehow, what with a hot meal in him and a roof over their heads and two hotel beds covered in thermal underwear and fleece zip-ups and more socks than he could count. And then he realized how much he wanted to be out of his clean enough for doing laundry and clothes. So he stripped right down to bare-ass naked and got dressed again in layers that were all warm and fresh from the dryer, toasty. Fraser let out a giggle and followed suit, and things were okay again. Nothing like communal nudity to make things equal again, or something. They were warm and well-fed, they were smiling, they had clean stuff, they even smelled good. Fraser smelled damn good, but it was still early, and Ray was not ready to cross that bridge yet, assuming there was still a bridge to cross, which he was pretty sure there would be. Besides, the wolf would give them all kinds of hell if they didn't hurry up and spring him from the dog pen. The thing Ray loved most about Diefenbaker was that he was the ultimate bribable half-wolf. A hunk of seal meat and all was forgiven, and since it wasn't donuts, Fraser couldn't give him hell over it either. They walked around Kluglucktuck, and Ray got his beard trimmed while Fraser looked on and Ray tried not to blush. Then they walked around the rest of the town, and Fraser gave him the history lesson about Coppermine, and the copper, and the Inuit, and the rapids in July, and the idiot tourists who left their trash behind and mucked the place up. It was still tiny, still freezing cold, but it had a great view of the semi-frozen sea, and the totally frozen river, and the wooded hills up above. Most of all, though, it was just fun to watch Fraser and Deef play without the rush of having to get anywhere. They looked happy. And then Deef was toppling Ray back into the snow, and he was throwing snowballs at the wolf, who caught them in his jaws, barking happily for more. And it was good. It was all good. It couldn't last, though. It was getting late. After they put Deef back in the kennel for the night, Fraser frowned at Ray's suggestion that they go to the bar, which was now packed with 24 post-Caribou Expedition American tourists. And Ray got that. They were obnoxious and loud and reminded him too much of a few too many perps he'd busted over the years. And if there was anything he didn't want to think about, it was the part of his job he hated most. So without anywhere else to go, there wasn't much else to do but go back to the room. Fraser sat down with his Arctic map again, and Ray took a seat on the edge of the bed. "So what are you looking for?" Fraser looked up almost shyly, before returning his eyes to the map. "Well, as you know, they've allowed me to choose my next posting. And now you have to pick one." Fraser licked his lips, not looking away from the paper. "Yes." "Makes sense," Ray said, trying to keep his voice steady, because of all the things they hadn't talked about yet, this was the real kicker. "It's a big decision," Fraser said, almost to himself. He sounded tense, and Ray realized that Fraser wanted to deal with this as little as Ray did. "You don't have to decide tonight, though, do you?" He tried to make it sound reasonable, not like the delaying tactic it was. "Well, no, but there is an RCMP station here, and they do appreciate prompt notification of personnel matters." "Sleep on it," Ray said, standing. He put his hand on Fraser's shoulder and let it rest there for a moment, thinking how strange it was to feel muscle rather than inches of down in between them. "Leave it for tonight." Then he stripped down to his thermals, feeling Fraser's eyes follow every movement, and crawled into his own bed to watch Fraser fold his map and undress as well. "Good night, Ray," Fraser said a few minutes later, and switched off the lamp. "Night." Ray rolled over again, punched the pillow, and let out a long, frustrated sigh. "What's wrong?" Fraser asked, sounding as sleepless as Ray was. "I don't know if the bed's too soft or you're too far away." "It's funny you should say that." "Oh yeah?" "I was thinking the same thing." Ray chuckled to himself, then stared up at the dim ceiling. There was probably never going to be a better time, what with the whole roof and beds and warm showers and heat thing. And if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. A moment later, he was pulling Fraser's covers back, saying, "Scoot." "Ray?" Fraser asked, sounding confused. "I said, scoot over. We've been sleeping together for a month. Don't tell me you've suddenly gone squeamish on me." "Well, sharing a tent, certainly," Fraser stammered, but he was moving over to the left, making room for Ray to take the warm spot he'd been lying in. "There," said Ray, settling in. "Now you're not too far away." There was a long, thoughtful silence, and then Fraser's voice came very quiet. "About that." "Hmm?" "I really should have made my decision by now, as far as the new posting request." "Yeah? You're not in trouble, are you?" "Oh, no. It's still a matter of courtesy at this point, rather than requirement. But you can't decide." "Well," Fraser said with a weak chuckle, "I'm finding it more difficult than I anticipated to weigh my priorities and come to a decision." Ray said and trailed off. He cleared his throat and tried again. "Look, whatever you decide, you got my vote, okay?" "Thank you, Ray." Ray nodded in the darkness. "You need to pick a place you'll be happy." Fraser mumbled noncommittedly, and Ray lay there listening to him breathe for a while, trying to figure out what the lump in his throat was all about. Except, well, wasn't that why he was suddenly in the same bed with him?
Okay, no, Ray burst out. You see, the thing is, I like being a duet with you.
Yes, that's it exactly, Fraser said, rolling over on his side towards Ray. I keep trying to imagine a return to before, and it just doesn't...
No, no way, you've never been this happy in Chicago, Ray said.
Well, no, I suppose not, but...
And me, all this time we've been out here sledding around, I've been trying to figure out what the hell I've got left there to go back to.
Well, surely you've still a place at the 2-7.
Yeah, well, there is somewhere, but life goes on, Fraze. It's all going to be different, and not just for me coming up from undercover, because that's nearly always rough.
It must be extremely difficult.
It can be, especially when it's this long and it ends sudden. But the thing is, even if Welsh decides to keep me there, Ray said, ignoring the tightness in his chest, no matter who he pairs me off with, it won't be you, and that sucks.
Yes, Fraser said softly. It does.
Ray knew what he wanted to say, but didn't know how to get the words out, especially with the way he felt the space between them on the bed with his whole body.
Is that what you meant by weighing priorities? Ray asked a few minutes later.
Hmm?
Fraser had rolled back onto his back, so his voice was further away.
You meant me, right? Ray prodded, rolling to face Fraser, not that he could see much in the dim light.
Fraser took a deep breath and murmured, Our partnership is extremely important to me.
How important?
Ray!
Fraser let out a frustrated-sounding sigh.
Look, call me crazy, but what if I stayed?
Ray, you don't...
I do. I do mean it. I mean, if there's a roof above me and a floor under me and running water, then I'm pretty sure I can hack it. Camping out on the snow for a month sure as hell been harder than that would be.
Beside him, Fraser took a deep breath and released it long and slow.
You need people.
Okay, that's true, but tell me how many friends do I have left in Chicago?
Real friends.
How many people have you known me to hang out with after work or go to movies with on the weekend?
Ray, I know how many, and I'm looking at him.
Still, you normally act with numerous, if not several dozen, individuals every day. That simply is impossible here.
And getting free of dozens of scumbags is a bad thing? How?
Ray, I don't mean to...
Nah, see... Ray lay there for a moment, chewing his lip. Then he asked softly, Are you really trying to talk me out of this?
He could barely see Fraser's face, how his mouth was pinched shut. At last, Fraser murmured, I'm just not sure you're fully aware of what you're suggesting.
Ray snorted. You need people too, you know.
And you already know everyone up here. So one of these little towns has got to be a place you can handle living in, or at least close to, right?
Fraser didn't say anything.
Maybe we could try it, Ray whispered.
You'd really do that?
Fraser asked, his voice barely audible.
That's what I'm saying.
That's remarkable.
Fraser, there's one other thing.
What's that?
I'm going to kiss you now, okay?
Ah, Fraser said, and so Ray leaned in, pushed his hand through Fraser's hair, and found his mouth with his own. Fraser tasted warm and dark and a little sweet from toothpaste, and it was a couple of seconds before he did anything but just take it. And then suddenly Ray was on his back with Fraser over him, licking into his mouth, over his tongue, testing his lips with his teeth. Ray ground up against him, fisting the back of his thermals and feeling Fraser's erection press down into his thigh.
You mean it? Fraser panted when he pulled away.
Hell yeah, Ray said. Absolutely do I mean it. Fraser moaned into his mouth, kissing him again. When he pulled away again, Ray ran his hands over Fraser's chest, fumbling for buttons, trying desperately to get to skin. Naked, Fraser. Need to touch you now.
Yes, Fraser breathed, pulling the buttons apart.
Yes.
Good, Ray said into Fraser's chest, mouth working against bare skin.
Fraser shucked the sleeves and kneeled up, pushing everything down. Ray rolled up, yanking fabric down, and grasping Fraser's ass in his hands, holding Fraser still as he leaned forward and licked a long stripe from Fraser's balls to the tip of his cock, and then did it again and again. Then he kissed his way up to the head again, spent a moment tonguing the sweet spot, and then swallowed him in as Fraser groaned above him. They were a perfect fit, with Fraser's balls in one hand and the base of his dick in the other, working in time with his mouth. Fraser's whole body was shuddering, hanging on to Ray by one shoulder and the top of his head. And then he was coming, and Ray was swallowing, and Fraser was collapsing with a long moan, more or less back onto his side of the bed. Ray shifted again, and kissed him, not even a little surprised when Fraser began sucking the taste of his cum off Ray's tongue. Somehow he knew Fraser'd like that. Fraser pulled back, incoherent words spilling from his mouth that resolved into, I wish we had supplies. I thought, but I didn't dare hope, and now, Ray... Fraser reached up for another fierce kiss. I want to feel you, Ray.
Ray blinked and pulled away.
You hoped as in you hoped I would...
He grabbed his erection and squeezed hard.
Fraser, do not say things like that.
"Lie back," Fraser said, guiding him down. And then the world was reduced to Fraser's tongue and mouth and lips and the hum in his throat and the grip of his hands and the breath ghosting over the tip of his cock each time Fraser pulled off the lick instead of suck. And God, this was better than he had ever imagined. And then he was coming, coming, and Fraser had him. His whole body sliding up Ray's, and his hands were holding him steady, and then his face was against Ray's, his mouth against Ray's, and Ray was lapping his own cum from Fraser's mouth, ecstasy written all over his face. And holy God, if this wasn't the best thing he'd ever felt, he didn't know what was. In the morning, Ray woke up so warm that he felt almost hot, and it was confusing until he opened his eyes and found Fraser staring at him. Ray had slept nestled against Fraser's shoulder, which was surprising to him, but it was cozy. Ray leaned in to kiss him, and Fraser met him halfway in a kiss more gentle than anything they'd done the whole night before. "You okay?" Ray asked. "Yeah," Fraser said. And Ray ran his hand over his prickly cheek until Fraser's jaw relaxed. Ray grinned. "So you afraid of how things are going to look in the cold light of day?" Fraser blinked in surprise, and Ray eased up on his elbow to place another kiss on Fraser's lips, just as gentle, but held it longer. Then he pressed his forehead against Fraser's and whispered, "I'm not going anywhere. Not unless you want me gone." "I wouldn't." "And even then," Ray said, talking over him, "I'm not saying I won't fight you on it. Partners is partners." Fraser smiled and returned the kiss, a little rougher, a little deeper. "I'm glad to hear it." "Good." Another small, wet kiss. "Want to get breakfast?" Fraser tilted his head, eyes sparkling, and then shook it. "Mm-mm." This time, Ray felt teeth tugging his lip and big hands on his ass, pulling him closer. "Mm, that's good, that's good," Ray said, sliding over until he was straddling Fraser's legs and rubbing his balls up and down the length of Fraser's cock. "Want to stay in bed all day?" The look on Fraser's face was a little dazed and a lot happy, and Ray didn't need to wait for his answer.
The End. This has been a recording of Sliding by Sageness. You can find the rest of Sage's stories at her website, www.sageness.com. Thanks for listening.